Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We were talking last week about some responsibilities of a Christian. This is a pretty important subject. If you're thinking about becoming a true Christian, not just a denominational Christian, but a true Christian, you're going to want to know what you're signing up for. What are you getting into? If you're already a Christian, you need to know what you're supposed to be doing. What are the responsibilities of a Christian? Well, we talked last week about attending church and prayer. Praying is how we talk to God. How does God talk to us? Well, we've talked about this extensively in the past. A lot of people think, well, God talks to us directly. He doesn't do that. He talks to us through His Word, the Bible, because He's not a respecter of persons. He wants us all to be amenable to, responsible to obey the same law. So He doesn't talk to every single person telling them what He wants them to do. Instead, He tells us all what we're to do through His Word. It's one standard. We're all responsible to obey the same thing. That's the fair way of doing it. I'm glad that He did that. So it behooves us to study the Bible regularly because that's how God talks to us. We talk to Him through prayer. He talks to us through the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 reads this way. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know this is talking about Bible study because it says rightly dividing the word of truth, and it tells us to be diligent about it. It's not just take a Bible down once a week to look up a catchphrase or something. You should be studying your Bible every day. David, I don't mean that it's a sin to miss one day. But on average, you should be studying the Bible more than once a day. Be diligent in your Bible study. It's the only way to know the truth. Gary from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing? Let me say this first. I like the way you hung up on me last week when I asked you about being a part of the denomination. But that's not where I'm going tonight. I've heard you expound several times on the fact that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. I believe that baptism is an act of obedience, and I truly believe in obeying the word of God. But I want you, if you would, please, to read to your listeners Acts 16, and the 31 verse is a key verse, but the couple of verses before that prior, you know, having to do with the, with the jail cells coming open and the prisoners being able to escape, but they opted not to. And explain that statement.
Yeah, the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer, verse 30 says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Mm-hmm.
Verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house."
Mm-hmm.
Then it talks about they believed, and he was baptized straightway in verse 33. What's pretty amazing about that, Gary, and we'll talk more about verse 31 in a minute, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in thy house and you'll be saved. What's pretty amazing is if baptism is not necessary to salvation, why did they go out and baptize him right then? We know from the story that it's after midnight and they don't have electricity back in those days. They don't have heated pools. So even though it's in the middle of the night, after midnight, he believes and they go out and baptizing right then. And they'd have to go outside to do it. A lot of churches today will wait a week or two to schedule a baptism, but this is totally different from that. Why do you think they did it immediately that night, Gary, if you don't have to be baptized to be saved?
I mean, we can all suppose the reasons. I mean, there are different cultural practices that are germane to this day and time as were to those times. You know, do we still take kids outside the city, disobedient children, and stone them to death? We don't do that anymore. So some practices that are just kind of relative or germane to a dispensation of time is the reason why some practices were done. Now, I want you to understand me clearly. I truly believe in the public baptism. I believe that this is direct obedience to the word. But I think there are some extenuating circumstances that will mandate that a person will perhaps not necessarily be able to go ahead and receive immediate baptism. And I believe if they were to expire, were to die before they could be submerged in the water, I don't believe that the God whom I serve would take away from his atoning blood to say that those individuals would not inherit eternal life. I just don't find that.
Gary, let me ask you, what if that person believed in Christ, but he didn't repent of his sins? You said what you were proposing. Here's somebody that believes but was not baptized. What if somebody believes in Christ but doesn't repent of their sins?
Now, you can't repent of your sins. You can ask for forgiveness of your sin. Repentance means to have a change of heart. You have to repent and he has a change of heart. The Bible says it repented God that he had made man. You remember that scripture? In other words, God was in his heart. He was sorry he had made man. But then, you know, he was convinced by the prophet that, you know, he said he would never destroy all flesh again. So what you have to do when you repent, you change your mind about where you previously thought that it was all right for two men to marry or two women to marry or so forth and so on.
Okay.
You change your
So change what your if mind a person what if a person believes in Christ but he doesn't repent of his sins? He doesn't change his mind about it.
Well, you can't repent of your sins. You can only be forgiven of your sins.
While ago you said a person can repent. You said that two men who are married.
No, no, that's
you
not
said,
repentance.
You what about two men?
Gary,
I'm going to have
mind.
To, look, you're not letting me talk, Gary, okay?
No, you're getting a little taste of your own medicine now.
Okay, can you hold on just a minute? Let me ask you the question.
I surely will.
Okay, so here's a man that believes in Christ, but he's married to another man. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be saved? He's not repenting of it. He's going to stay in that marriage. He's not planning on getting out of that marriage. Did he do what it takes to be saved if he just believes that Jesus Christ exists, but he doesn't repent of his sins, he just stays in a gay marriage or whatever? Is he going to be saved?
Patrick, the word belief is deeper than just having a head knowledge. You and I, we're on the same accord there when it comes to belief. It's a convictive knowledge where you practice doing the right things. No, you can't remain in sin and be saved. Absolutely not.
Okay, so verse 31 of Acts 16. Acts 16 of verse 31 just says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't mention repentance, but both you and I agree that repentance is necessary. You can't just stay in your sins. So obviously Acts 16:31 is not telling us everything we have to do to be saved because it doesn't even mention repentance. See, it doesn't mention repentance. So it's not telling us everything we have to do to be saved. It's just saying you do have to believe in Christ to be saved. But if you turn to a passage like Mark 16:16, that passage says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to do both. Acts 16:31 is not telling you everything you got to do to be saved. Mark 16:16 is telling you not only do you have to believe, but you got to be baptized to be saved. Go ahead now, Gary.
I would go one further than that. I don't believe that any one particular scripture is give you the inclusivity of all of the components of salvation, because I don't think just believing and being baptized is you're going to be saved. You got to continue. You got to be obedient. I believe in the obedience, but my point.
So Gary, I agree with that. There's not one passage that tells us everything we got to do to be saved. Mark 16:16 doesn't tell us we got to repent, but Acts 2:38 does. Acts 2:38, Peter told believers, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So, but when you put all the passages together, then you see that it's not just belief. You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to be baptized. Acts 16:31 is not ruling out baptism any more than it's ruling out repentance. Gary, go ahead.
Here's the thing that I'm saying. What I hear from you when I hear your staunch position, your dogmaticism concerning the baptism, if it's not enough, I believe. Let me digress. I believe in baptism. I think you ought to go down just like Jesus said. I believe in that wholeheartedly if it's accessible. But there are some extenuating circumstances where it's not. And I've heard you say that if a person does not go down in that water, they would not be saved, even if they had done all the components, all of the asking for forgiveness and turned away from their sins and set out to be obedient. But there was not water to afford them that opportunity. I hear you saying that you could not be saved without the water. And I don't believe that that's in the scriptures.
Right, but I love you, Gary, but we're not going by what you believe. We go by what the Bible says.
I'm going
says.
By the scriptures.
The scriptures say in Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus had believed in Christ on the way to Damascus. I can show you, I think, where he'd already repented, but Ananias tells him in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? In the south, we'd say, what you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we all agreed, Gary, our sins are not our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. But Acts 22:16 says they're not washed away. they're not washed away. Saul's sins were not washed away by the blood of Christ until he was baptized. So if he had died before he was baptized, he would have still been in his sins because his sins were washed away when he was baptized.
But now you're still going back and saying that the water washes away your sins.
No, the blood of Christ. You stated it opposite of what I said. I said the blood of Christ washes away our sins,
mm-hmm.
not talking about salt, not when he believed, mm-hmm. but when he was baptized. So it's the mm-hmm. blood of Christ, mm-hmm. not the water,
mm-hmm.
that washes
mm-hmm.
away the sins. But mm-hmm. When did the blood of Christ wash away Saul's sins, according to this verse, Gary?
Once he believed.
No, but Acts 22:16, he had already believed 3 days before that. This says, what are you waiting on, or why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. When did the blood of Christ wash away Saul's sins? When he believed or when he was baptized?
From my interpretation of the scriptures, is when he believed. The baptism is no more than an outward confession because they had been previously, the disciples, the followers of Christ, had been previously running from this public admittance of adhering to the teachings of Christ and any association with him. And what this public baptism did, it's the
Gary, thank you for your call. Thank you very much for your call. So I want to let the audience decide this. In Acts, suppose Jesus was just trying to learn from the Bible. Jesus was here, just as a hypothetical. Suppose he's trying to learn what to do to be saved. And he read Acts 22:16, where Saul told Ananias, where Ananias told Saul, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What would Jesus conclude from that verse? Would he do like Gary did and say, I interpret that the Bible teaches you're saved by belief and that baptism is not necessary to salvation? Or would Jesus conclude from this verse that your sins are not washed away until you're baptized? Now remember, here's what Ananias told Saul. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I'm pretty sure the audience would understand that if Jesus, he would be a person who has a completely open mind to God's word, he would look at this verse and he would say emphatically, Saul's sins were washed away by the blood of Christ, not when he believed, but when he was baptized, because that's what Acts 22:16 says. So Saul had believed 3 days before. What if he had died hypothetically before he was baptized? Well, according to Acts 22:16, he'd still be in his sins. He'd still be in his sins, just like he had never believed, just like he had never repented, because his sins weren't washed away by the blood of Christ until he was baptized, Acts 22:16. Now that is the plain and simple meaning of that verse. And if you don't accept it, it means you don't love Jesus like you ought to. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14:15. So if you read a verse that says that Saul needed to be baptized to get his sins washed away, Acts 22:16, and you say, I don't believe that, that means you don't love God like you ought to. You don't love him enough. You're more tied to your own interpretation and what you think and what you want than what the verses say. Because this is what the Bible says. It's clear. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us. And we know it's talking about water baptism because the parallel is being made back to verse 20 of Noah and his family, the 8 souls being saved through water. So we know it's talking about water baptism. It says water baptism saves us. I don't think, and you shouldn't think either, I don't think that God would say baptism saves us if you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. Why would God say, repent to believers, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, if they already had the remission of sins simply because they were believers? Well, that's the Baptist position. That's the faith-only position. They were already believers. They would have already been saved. As Gary said, he thinks Saul was saved when he believed. Well, Peter's talking to believers in Acts 2:38. Why aren't they already saved? Why is he telling them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? It's pretty clear. Why would John say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, if you can enter the kingdom of God without being baptized in water? Why would John say that? Why would Jesus say, the Lord of all, the one who decides who's going to be saved, the one that died so we could be saved, why would he say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, if you can just believe and be saved without baptism? That doesn't make any sense. Are you, audience, Pat, are we really believing what the Bible says about what a person has to do to be saved? Or are we already got our mind made up that you don't have to be baptized to be saved? And so we refuse to consider any of the passages in the Bible that prove that you do have to be baptized to be saved. Now, there's a lot of passages, verses in the New Testament that talk about baptism, but not that many of them tell us the purpose of baptism. They don't all tell us the purpose, but every verse in the Bible that tells us the purpose of baptism teaches us that it's necessary to be saved. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, for example. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, there's no doubt we become children of God by faith, verse 26. But it doesn't say at the point of faith. You're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And the very next word is for in verse 27. For means to introduce the reason. In other words, these Galatians were the children of God by faith because they had been baptized into Christ. The way they became a child of God by faith was by being baptized into Christ. And don't overlook the fact that it says they were baptized into Christ. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says all spiritual blessings, including salvation, are in Christ. If you hadn't been baptized, you're not in Christ because you have to be baptized to get into Christ. It says you're baptized into Christ, meaning if you hadn't been baptized, you're not in Christ. We're all spiritual blessings are where the forgiveness of sins is. The Bible is very, very clear. A person has to be baptized to be saved. People don't accept it because they're wedded to their system of theology, which says they want to say that you're saved at the point of faith or saved by faith only. Of course, James 2:24 refutes that very directly. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So we're not saved by faith only. Many preachers will say we are, but that verse says that you're not. You're justified by works and not by faith only. James chapter 2, verse 24. So we're talking about Bible study. Acts 17, verse 11 gives us another reason why we ought to study God's word. It says these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So when we hear preaching, people are preaching different things. We need to study our Bible so we'll know who's right. That's what the Bereans did. They searched the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were preaching was so. Cheryl from Mississippi, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for calling, Cheryl.
I have two questions. I have a six-year-old that recently she showed an interest in being baptized. She does children's church. She listens to it well. Even there was an incident where her teacher called me one day where a child did something that they weren't supposed to do. I think people said, do you know what they say about kids that are disobedient? And my baby, without even looking up, she said, well, a disobedient child doesn't live their days out, and that's what the Bible says. She's expressed an interest to want to be baptized. She think about her decision as to what God would like versus what she want to do. So my question is, it's 6 too early for her to be baptized, even though she's saying it consistently that she wants to be baptized.
Is this your son or daughter?
Daughter.
I haven't met your daughter, but I have never met a six-year-old person that was mature enough to understand the gospel enough to believe it and obey it. I haven't met any six-year-olds that were mature enough to do that. I haven't met your daughter, but I've never met a six-year-old that was mature enough. Okay?
Okay. Okay, and my second question is, I got baptized at an early girl age. I didn't just quite understand as much as I needed to, as much as I know now. Would it be a good time for me to be rebaptized or do like a rededication, I guess?
Well, I think that if you're too young to have understood completely what was going on, you probably do need to be rebaptized, but... Oh. What I'd like you to do is is this time, make sure you completely understand it. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Maybe
I do,
we can.
I do now. I do now. But, you know, like I say, then I didn't, at 11, I didn't quite get the whole gist of it.
Uh-huh. How old were you when you did that, Cheryl?
I was 11. I was about 11. And I'm 46 now. Of course, I've grown, and I know a lot more now than what I knew then.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I have made mistakes along the way, and I've kind of rededicated myself to not making some of those same mistakes that I've made in the past.
What a lot of people, when they get baptized, don't understand is it's not just be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. Mm-hmm. It's repent and be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38.
Right.
We were talking to the earlier caller, Gary, about repentance. Repentance of sin is also necessary to being saved. You follow me? And what a lot of preachers don't preach, like Gary, he doesn't preach that baptism is done for the remission of sins, like Acts 2:38 requires.
Right.
So you don't want to get baptized again if you're not going to get baptized for the remission of sins. That's just a waste of
time. And that's why I want to get baptized for the remission of sins. Like I say, you know, we all have fell short of things. I mean, I've pretty much, maybe the last decade, probably been longer, been on a straight and narrow run. Yeah, but, and honestly speaking, there have been things I've asked God for forgiveness for, like in particular having children out of wedlock. You know, I've asked for forgiveness. And, you know, it's a lot of things that probably in the past that I would do, I definitely wouldn't look back toward doing that because of the fact that I know it's not pleasing in God's eye.
Cheryl, you're on the air now, so don't tell me exactly where you live, but about where in Mississippi do you live? About?
Southwest.
I live in North Alabama near Huntsville.
Okay,
so Southwest Mississippi, you're pretty far from me in Southwest Mississippi. You're down closer to New Orleans direction, right?
Right, about 4 hours from New Orleans, yes.
Okay. Cheryl, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to call you after the program, and we can maybe set up some more conversation, okay?
Okay.
Okay? I appreciate your call, though, okay, Cheryl? Thank you for your call.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank
see you later. Bye. Mm-hmm. And so we want to study God's word so that we can understand the truth. We want to search the scriptures daily to see what we're being taught is the truth. And there's another reason we want to study God's word. It's because we want to be able to effectively share the gospel with others. You know, it's the responsibility of every Christian to share the gospel with others, not just the people we think of as preachers. In Acts 8:1-4, it says there was a great persecution against the church, and they that were scattered abroad, except the apostles, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It says that they were all scattered abroad except the apostles, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So the whole church, that's man, women, and youth, were scattered abroad, and then they went everywhere preaching the word, okay? Not just the preachers were preaching the word, not just the men, the ladies too. Doesn't mean the ladies were preaching from the pulpit. No, they absolutely were not doing that. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. But whenever you try to teach your neighbor the gospel, you're preaching. Try to get out and share the gospel with everybody you can find that was willing to listen. Another responsibility of a Christian is to have clean language. I hear people who claim to be Christians and they'll cuss. I heard a coach on one of the college football coaches who claims to be a Christian, a faithful Christian. It's what he claims. But they did a press conference and he said a cuss word. A Christian won't use cuss words. A Christian won't take the Lord's name in vain, using the God's name without even thinking about it. He won't lie. Ephesians 4:29 says to us Christians, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. A Christian's not going to cuss, take the Lord's name in vain, lie. He's going to let his communication be good to the use of edifying, building up, teaching others, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's a responsibility of a Christian to have clean language. Hey, go to my website for this radio program, BibleCrossfire.com. If you want to contact me, ask me a Bible question over email, listen to old programs. If you'd like to do a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, I want you to call or text me at 256-682-9753. Free 1 hour phone Bible study, 256-682-9753.